This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, obviously, again. And with me today is my lovely, glorious, amazing, purple-haired, short-sleeved, and beautiful co-host, Amanda. All the power to you.
Hi, Monica.
I think I put quite some effort in there, and it was almost up to snuff again.
It was good. I was super impressed, and I was just like, yes, I'm going to emote it all out.
This is me. Perfect.
Yes.
She's short-sleeved.
I'm no-sleeved.
Yeah, that's also short.
How's it going today, Monica?
It's going good. It's going good. How is it going with you?
It's going pretty great. I've had a pretty damn good Tuesday, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's been a good day.
Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I can tell you about it, some of it.
Some of it, which isn't secret and under the wraps for now.
Yes, I had a secret and under the wraps phone call first thing this morning.
Oh.
And then I had a not as secret, not as under the wraps branding session with our very own Birta Kars, who is currently in chat. That was 5 hours long.
5 hours long.
5 hours long. But it was awesome. And I got so much out of it. And I'm really excited for what we have started working on, what she's helping me work on, what the input in the branding. I'm just excited. There's some excitement.
That's great. That's amazing. Good for you. I'm excited.
And then I went for a long walk.
That's also great.
It was good.
Yay! I'm excited what's going to come out of all that.
Me too.
Like all of it.
All the things.
Yes, all the things. Cool!
Yay, cool.
So what are we doing today?
We're chilling, illing, a little bit of killing.
I recall you said that already and I still can't get over it.
Just thought I'd bring it back for this episode of Geek Hearing and Chill, where we are talking about our video game history and evolution, which was a topic submitted by Mr. Tom Knight from Three Extra Lives.
Tom has the best advices and tips. He basically is the ghostwriter of a lot of our show topics.
Yeah, it's not like the ghostwriter of the shows, but he's like the idea generator.
Yes. That's what I mean.
Yes.
Because you're writing the things, but he's like powering the ideas. Yes.
Yeah.
He's a very solid rock in our idealist lake and river sometimes.
Yes. Very true.
Yeah.
Very
true. We appreciate it a lot, by the way, in case that doesn't come around like that.
Yeah.
Put the Harrington in me, pull the lever and see what you get. Okay.
Oh, amazing.
I can't comment on this. I'm speechless right now.
That was, that's it. Show's over.
Done. Welcome. See you on the next one for another amazing episode.
All right. So to get the show on the road, Monica, tell me about your earliest video game memory.
My earliest video game memory is probably playing Tetris on the Game Boy with my former best friend. See, she's so former that I don't even get the word out anymore. Former best friend. Where we're sitting across each other on the table with a cable connected, and we were playing Tetris together and against each other. And basically, yeah, the Game Boy was my first video game memory, pretty much. Super Mario, never finished it. I never finished any games. Trying to rescue Peach, please.
Peach, please.
And yeah, that is basically my earliest memory. What about you?
So the earliest memory that I can remember, because that's why it's my earliest memory. was getting a Nintendo, original Nintendo, the NES, on, I want to say, my 5th birthday, and playing some, like, original Mario and Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt?
Oh, yeah, Duck Hunt. Did you ever play Duck Hunt? It was, like, you had, like, a separate gun, and you had to, like, shoot the ducks, and, like, it's awful. Like, I can't believe that there was a game about hunting ducks. Like, it's so shit now. Like, well, thinking back, I'm like, oh, my God, Amanda, like,
who were you at the time?
It was iconic. Like, that game was iconic, and the dog, like, when you miss the ducks, and he comes up, he's like,
To be fair, that wasn't very real. And I mean, the graphics back in the days weren't as frightening and as scary as they would be now.
Super true. Yeah.
So nobody cares if you shoot a very pixelated duck, let's be honest.
No.
But
it was like everything to own that NES gun. Like, it was super cool.
I didn't have that NES gun.
You didn't have the NES gun. You missed out.
I did have the NES, but I didn't have the gun. At least I don't recall having the gun. And I'm not very drawn to violence, except hitting my boyfriend when he's annoying.
You know, that doesn't count.
That doesn't count. That's just self-protection against psychological warfare. That's sometimes the only weapon that I have. I don't remember that.
No. Well, it was a good time. It was just like, I don't know. I played the NES a lot with my dad, so that was good.
Was it for you? Do you have it as a collaborative memory, or is it like when you think back to your earliest history in video games? Is it something that was collaborative with other people more, or was it more by yourself?
My early memories, like of console gaming, was collaborative. Mm-hmm. So another memory that I have is I was over at my aunt and uncle's house. Mom and dad were out on a date, so I was having a sleepover with my cousins, but I couldn't sleep because I was really bad at sleepovers. Like, before I hit, I don't know, I think I was 10 before I was really good at having a sleepover. And I went downstairs and because I couldn't sleep. I don't know what time it was, like maybe 10 or 11, but like as a young kid, that was quite late.
5 a.m. in the morning. It's like,
right.
Yeah.
And my Auntie Debbie was already in bed because she was always like early to bed. But Uncle Danny was up and he was like, oh, what's wrong, Amanda? Come here, sweetheart. And aww. Like, I like cuddled up on the couch with him. And I just remember he put on the Super Nintendo and we were playing like Super Mario Brothers, like, or Super Mario World, the one on the SNES. And it was like, was just like that memory. And there's one particular level, it's like when you go through and into the caves, and then like there's boingies, like boing boing boing, you know what I mean, like you have to like jump on them and they go like down and up and like they launch you. And I just remember playing that level over and over and being so like happy to be curled up with my Uncle Danny playing like SNES, because like he felt bad for me that I couldn't sleep and I was a wee bit scared.
Aww.
Like, yeah, so it was really nice and really collaborative.
Oh, that's a really nice memory.
Yeah.
Also, I guess it brings you back to it brings you back to this warmth whenever you do it again, because you had such a wholesome experience with it, even though in a time where you struggled and you didn't know where to go and you couldn't sleep and you were worried and then you couldn't sleep again, then someone took care of you and took care of you with that. So that's basically the blanket that he wrapped you in. And I guess that's whenever you experience the blanket again, it brings up the same cozy feelings. That's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I didn't, no adult person was ever part of my gaming experience, as far as I can remember. And it was mainly, despite like having this memory with my friend and playing Tetris together, I do feel like when I think back on it, it was still a solo experience more than it was a group experience, because I was the only person who had all of that stuff and nobody else had it. So I couldn't like play with other people, or when they came over, it still was some more like what I did by myself than with a lot of other people, because don't do that when parents don't allow it, back then more mm-hmm. so than now, because it was hard to hold that train. So now it's really hard to not have people, like kids, play any game really, but back then I think it was way easier to do that. And yeah, I do recall it more being a solo experience, to be honest.
When I moved to Pennsylvania, so I never had a Super Nintendo. Like, we had the NES, and that was, then I actually got a Sega Genesis, which I found, like, Sonic was awesome, and I played a lot of Echo the Dolphin, but, like, I found Echo to be too hard.
Yeah.
Because, like, honestly, even as an adult, I'm like, what the fuck, this game is so hard. you know, but I always wanted that SNES, because, like, I have memories with my Uncle mm-hmm. Danny playing it, and, like, I just remember, like, my best friend Graham, we would always play, like, Mario Kart together, and it was something that I had to play. Like, I wanted it so bad, but my parents were like, you've got a Genesis, why the hell do you need a SNES? Like, rawr. And I was like, I want a SNES, like, I just need it. So I saved up money. I must have been, like, babysitting money or something, because I was doing a lot of babysitting when I was, like, 11 and 12. And so I bought myself a SNES with, like, as soon as I had wow. $50, because they were way down in price. Like, I got a SNES for $50, like, hardly anything.
You can't even buy that nowadays.
No, like, it was, like, 1997, maybe. And I got a SNES. And I just remember I played it so much. Donkey Kong Country and, like, Super Mario World. And then, like, I got the pack that had, like, all the Super Mario, the, like, original NES games, like, Super Mario 1 through 3 and yeah. Lost Worlds and everything. And, like, I would just sit up, because the way that our house was in Pennsylvania was I had kind of, like, a loft that had, like, a bedroom, a bathroom, and then, like, a little room that I use as, like, a TV room. Because, like, hey, that's only child life, right? And so I would just be in that little back room blaring Aaron Carter. And, like, that is memories that I've got from in that room, is just, like, being so cozy, blaring Aaron Carter while playing, like, Super Nintendo. It was amazing.
That's a good time. We bought a friend of or we got a friend a cardboard Aaron Carter pop-up for her birthday once, even though we were already quite a few years older than he was back then, but still it was quite hilarious, and she got it and it was pretty funny. Yeah, that was also a yeah. time when that was a thing.
Yeah, like, I 100% like, I'm not an Aaron Carter fan. That's the one and only CD I've ever owned, like 97, 98, whenever it came
was
out,
it
like
the
in
first
late 90s.
One?
Oh yeah, uh-huh, with, like, what was it, Party Girl or something?
Yeah,
I've got it playing with him, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're singing it right now in your head. Oh, yeah. Damn it.
So yeah,
oh, yeah,
like,
I
that
want
was
candy. Like, was it that?
Yes.
I want candy. Is it like this?
Is that
a different song that I'm singing right now?
I think, like, that is an Aaron, like, I think he did a cover of it, but yeah, I don't know. So I've definitely got that memory. And then my other music related to video game memory from being in that house. So we had a computer, but it was in my parents' bedroom. I don't know why.
Protection.
I don't know why, actually. Why was it in there? Because it used to be in the front room. Anyways, that doesn't matter.
Because you had unlimited access in the front room and you don't in their bedroom.
Maybe. Yeah, that makes sense. And I would play a lot of, like, Civilization, like, early, like, whatever Civ was out in the 90s. I want to say it was Civ 3. Mm-hmm. And I would play it while listening to NSYNC. And, like, that would be me for hours. Like, I would just sit in their bedroom listening to NSYNC, playing Civ 2, as I've been corrected in chat, thanks, Tom. And I just remember, like, whoever it was, when I was playing Catherine the Great, I think. And I got the title Catherine the Meek. And I was so excited. I was like, yeah, Catherine the Meek. And then my dad was like, you know, that's not a good thing, right? To be a leader of a country, you shouldn't be meek. And I was like, oh.
Aww.
And, like, I was like, yay. But yeah, I was just like, that was me. Like, a lot of my early video game memories are really tied to music.
That is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
That is pretty hilarious. What did you move on from? You moved from the NES. Did you not have a Game Boy? You didn't have a Game Boy?
I got a Game Boy, I think, sometime in the 90s. And I want to say it was blue.
Who are you even?
Game Boy.
Who are
Game
you?
Boy Pocket.
You can't Game Boy talk. Yeah, or advanced. Was it like a lengthy one?
No, it was like
a small colored one.
A small colored
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that was a pocket one, I think.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was blue, but I didn't actually play it that much. It was like just something that I never really got into. It was good for like long car rides because we would be driving back and forth from Pennsylvania to yeah. where we were from in Ontario. So it was like an 8-hour car ride. So I played it quite a bit then.
Yeah. I'm just laughing at Rick for a real ball. I said the clear plastic Game Boy. Well, I'm not sure if I would agree. I have the old school beige one. It's still in the cupboard there. The only thing that's missing is the plastic on the front of it. But I feel like I'm the OG here in this round here.
totally. But you're also older than me, Monica.
Yes, I know. I'm hitting 40 soon, I'm telling you.
And then the only other memory that I want to share from that time period is we had a game on the PC called Super Carts. And I don't know what kind of PC game or what, like where it was from. Like I've actually tried to look it up and I can't find it now. But I would play with my dad and a colleague of my dad's who was living with us at the time called Dan, and the three of us would play, and it was like we had to play on the keyboard, so I was like sandwiched between two grown men and like we were all like playing on the keys trying to control our carts in this game, and like it was so much fun. We played all the fucking time. Like my mom was probably like, oh my god, they're playing the game again. Like, but just the best was Dan going, he would say like, that guy is driving is so erratic. he would always say that, like, the whoever was driving, like the AI or like probably me or my dad or something, like the driving was erratic. And like as a 10 11 12 year old, I just thought that this was amazing. I was like, this word is the best word, Dan, what does that mean? And so that's how I learned the word erratic. And every time I say that word or think about it or anything to do with erratic, I think about that game and him being like, that guy is such an erratic driver.
That's hilarious. Aww. You have really nice memories.
All my video game memories are like honestly, they're awesome. Yeah. Yeah. There's like Oregon Trail memories. Playing this like Yeti or snowman. No, like snow adventure game in like our first house back in Canada. Like I'm going like now back in time again. And I have tried to find it. I've looked through like ROM games and ROM games and ROM games. I'm like, oh my god, I cannot find this game anywhere. And I would spend hours playing with my dad in like the basement playing this like game.
That is so
cool. It was on like one of those big discs, like big floppy disks
out of cardboard or whatever.
Yeah.
My brother is like 13 years older than I am, so he's hitting 50 next year. Either way, he had a Commodore. And he had this Kung Fu game, and that's really maybe something that I, considering he was so much older, that's even before the Game Boy, a memory that I have of him playing this game and wanting to play it too, and it was on this very tiny screen, and the disc was huge, and you could just like climb up ladders and climb ladders down again and stuff, but yeah. Didn't last for that long because with that age gap you don't do collaborative gaming.
No.
Yeah. No. That's nice. You have such great memories. And then you moved from the NES to the Sega Mega Drive to the
Sega Genesis.
Genesis.
Which I think is the same thing as a Mega Drive, but it's North American.
You weird people over there.
I'm sorry.
And then to PC?
And then the NES, like the PC and the SNES were kind of around the same time. And then I was PC for ages, playing like Tomb Raider, Lara Croft games, like back old boxy boobs and everything.
Boxy boobs. And triangle boobs. Were they even triangle boxy?
Boxy. There was some that they were like boxier than triangular. Like, yeah, they definitely had some stuff going on there. And I remember, I want to say that it was like Tomb Raider 2. Is that the one where she goes to Venice? But I would play with my friend Brianne. We would take turns playing in my house or playing in her house after school, like high school. So we're talking like 15, 16 years old. And we would listen to her mom's Yaz CDs, which is like, oh gosh, I don't even know who Yaz is. Like, it's so funny. I think they might be called Yazoo here. I don't know. Because I've tried to find out more information about Yaz, and like, we would always just be like, Yaz, like that. And we listened to her Yaz CDs because we thought it was funny, but actually, like, I think we were both secretly really into it. we couldn't get past Venice, so I gave up on Tomb Raider 2.
So you gave up on Tomb Raider 2?
Yeah, because we couldn't get past Venice.
And then what? Like, that ended your story with Tomb Raider?
I've gone back to Tomb Raider since then. But, like, we're talking chronologically here, Monica, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm up to 15, 16 years old now, Monica. Do you have any stories to tell up to that era?
I got my very own computer. Like, I was always console. I was always Nintendo consoles. I never had a PlayStation. I had the NES. Then I had the N64, and then I got GameCube because it was so pretty. It was so pretty. It was the Zelda limited version, and I gave it away to I'm a bit of an idiot now. I regret it, but it was so pretty.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I didn't, like, at around 14 for my confirmation, I got my own PC. So my very own, very first PC. And that ended it for me there. Like, that then brought the world of the internet to me. I never really got into playing a lot of PC games. I did try this. I think Tom posted it on 3 Extra Lives just recently on his Insta things. The guy with the blonde hair, that quiz puzzle thingy. He can probably tell you the name of it. I don't remember. Like this archaeology guy or whatever. Never mind. Maybe you call it Broken Sword. Yes, that could be the one. I know in German the name was super different again, so that's why I got all confused. But I think that's the one, yeah. But I never finished any game. I know that a friend of mine was playing Myst, and I think I tried that, but I couldn't. For me, it was always that I thought I was a huge failure when I didn't figure shit out myself. And that's why I stopped doing these kinds of games, because I was like, if I don't figure it out in 5 minutes, then something must be wrong with me, and I clearly am not made to play this game. That's why I'm not playing this anymore. With jump and run, that was never an issue. Like, I could jump and run, and I didn't fall down. Nowadays, I would, and nowadays I do, and I get super angry about it, because I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, how am I going to play this anymore now? And that's, yeah. Then I didn't have a console for a while, and then... I had boyfriends who were gamers, they played Unreal Tournament, and I always liked to watch it. I never played them, though. Like, I could never play shooters and all. Yes! That's the one, Tom. Baphomet's Fluch. Sorry. And then I got, like, some way later down the line, I found this dude, and he had the Wii, and obviously all the PlayStations. Still never really got used to the PlayStation controller. And the one that really brought me super back to it for me, I think, is the Switch. Like, the Wii wasn't great. The Wii U, we don't even talk about that one because what the fuck did happen there? But they turned it really around for me. Like, Nintendo turned it around for me with the Switch for me to play myself again more. And my attitude towards it totally switched, because now I... Compared to, when I was younger, I never finished any game. Like, I started, I never finished a game, and then turned to something else. But now I actually do finish games. Like, the first time I did finish a game, I was super irritated. Because, what? That was it? That's my first game I ever finished. I think it was Little Big Planet, to be honest. That was on the PlayStation. It was really cute. And I did move over... I don't have the nerve for jump and runs that much anymore. Like, I get how angry I got when I was younger. I get more angry about this now, I think, because I'm like, fuck's sake, fell down this fucking thing again. And I get super impatient. And I'm like, then I've tried to go faster. And I don't have I can't take my time to hop over this hole. And then I'm like, fuck it. and I put it to the
air.
But yeah, with, I think also the Breath of the Wild series with the quizzes, they have a lot of riddles in that one. And I totally start to really enjoy those kinds of games. And now also my approach to it changed, because if I can't figure it out, I look it up and have a fuck it attitude. I'm figuring this one out. Mm-hmm. The next one I figure out myself, but I'm not wasting 5 hours to figure it out by myself. So I'm like, I tried it a few times. I don't know how to do it. I look it up online. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then I do it and then I move on and I'm okay with doing it. Whereas previously I was like, I'm not made for this. I can't do this. I'm meh. And I'm like, this is really something that I'm doing for myself for enjoyment. So I'm not making my life more miserable just because I think I can't figure it out. I have other strengths. If it's not this riddle, it may be another one.
Definitely. I also have been known to look up the solutions to puzzles, so you're not alone. and I also looked up, much to Tom's despair, I looked up, I heard that there was a jump scene, or I was looking up to see if there was a jump scene in one of the games that I was playing, and I was like, oh, there is, like, there's a jump scare, I was starting to get like really worked up, and I was like, I'm gonna look up a video, and so like to like prepare myself for the jump scene, and like just so you know, like I totally, when the jump scene actually happened, I was still scared.
Yeah, that's
so
why that it didn't help. I totally understand why you would be like preparing yourself for it, but then in the end would still get scared even though you know that it's happening. It happens to me 100%. In movies all the freaking time. So I'm like, yeah whatever. I know that it is coming, but I'm still like might have just wound up the dog. I think it's all. Yeah.
So like when I was in high school, I kind of like, I didn't play a lot of video games because I was all about that secret life in high school. So like I was too busy. I was out like 4, 5, 6, 7 nights a week, like doing Sea Cadets mm-hmm. in some way or another. So unless I was playing like Lara Croft with my friend Brianne in between school and cadets, because we went to cadets together, like there wasn't that much gaming, except like I started going to, I got really friendly with another quite geeky girl, geeky gamer girl in high school. And she had like every console ever. She was so obsessed with like all the consoles, like PlayStation, Final Fantasy, like, oh, she was a huge Final Fantasy fan. And so she talked me into getting a PS1. So this must have been, I was probably 16, maybe 17. And I got the PS1 and I picked up a game called Legend of Dragoon, which was like an RPG, like a JRPG, kind of similar to Final Fantasy, but also like totally different. And that is like the only game I really was consumed with in high school. Like that was the best fucking game ever. And like, it's still one of those that I'm like, I want to play this again. Mm-hmm. Like there's not that many that I'm like, I really want to go back and play that, but that is one of them. So I think I'm going to have to find like a good emulator and maybe I'll stream that one like in full, like, because that was, oh my gosh, it was a masterpiece. Like I've never played a game like it ever again. Like it was just pure perfection.
Nice. Yeah. And maybe you can find it again, which totally stream it. Like as in thinking of the past and acknowledging the past and looking at the roots.
Yeah. I was just checking my emulator, but it's only SNES and Sega, so it's not won't have that one, which is a shame.
Tom does have a PS1. Totally.
Yeah, it was a PS1.
Does Tom have a PS1?
I don't know. No, he doesn't. No. And then honestly, like after that, I didn't really play video games. Mm-hmm. When I went to university, like we played some SNES because I obviously brought my SNES up, right? And so we played some SNES. And then when I first like moved to Northern Ireland, like I was three and a half years, like before I met Tom, and I didn't have any kind of console. I had a laptop, but I didn't have the internet. Mm. Like I was like a little recluse here, so I was very much like out of touch with video games. I got friendly with a guy up in Belfast, and we played some like games together at his place, like on the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. Like, I learned a lot about like Heavy Rain. I know that's we also played the PS3. Heavy Rain was
that
so
was
good.
So good. It was yeah, also one and I finished, I think. Maybe that was
Heavy Rain. It was, oh man. I remember we stayed up literally like all night playing that game because it was so good. We just wanted to finish it.
That was because that was the first game of its kind back in the day, right? Where you basically was kind of like a movie and you decided how it was going to end and all. So that was like super, super new back when it came out, I think. And Holly showed it me as well because we were already together then. And then I think I played it by myself. I tried to play the ones that came after the Beyond Two Souls. And I started it just recently because it was super cheap in the PSN store. But I kind of didn't. It scared the shit out of me. It scared the shit out of me now, even though I already watched Roli play it like 5 or 6 years ago. And I'm like, I can't play this anymore. I can't play this by myself. I can't do this because it's super freaking scary. And I'm, even though I watched all the horror movies when I was 15, I'm not made for this anymore.
Oh, man, for sure. Yeah, it was like, I would watch friends play Silent Hill and like Resident Evil, but there was no way in hell. Do you hand me that controller? Fuck off. Like, no chance, mate. Yeah, I've got those memories too, for sure. And honestly, it wasn't until I started dating Tom that I got like back into gaming because, I mean, Tom's a gamer and I'm like a lifelong gamer. It's just like I didn't have my own system for a while. I was like a lapsed gamer. And so it was actually, I met Tom and then I was with that friend in Belfast. We're not friends anymore. And I started playing Elder Scrolls Oblivion with him. And then our friendship kind of fell apart not long after that. And then Tom got Skyrim. It came out on November 11th, 2011. I only remember that because it was like 11-11-11. And like, that was me. Like, I have played Skyrim on Tom's Xbox more than he has. Like, I would go over to his house, like, and he would play Warcraft and I would just be sitting beside him on the bed playing the shit out of Skyrim. Like, oh man. And then he gave me his PS3 for a while, like before he moved in, and he bought me a Lara Croft collection on the PS3. So I was like playing the shit out of that as well. And yeah.
Nice.
We're like modern era now, pretty much.
Modern era.
Modern era, Amanda Gamer.
I wouldn't say Tom ruined you. He elevated you again.
He did. He was like, Amanda, go back to your geeky roots. And I'm like, oh yeah. Fuck yeah. I love this.
Nice.
But it was like, it was the whole like Seek It Out thing because I did that here as well. So it totally took me out of, like, I didn't have much time to play video games. Mm. So
it sounds like an intense thing, the Seek It Out thing.
Oh, it is.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at.
And now we're...
Well, there was a cute story. I was subletting an apartment in my final year of university. Was it my final? Yes, my final year, because I like left uni for a semester and then I went back. And by that point, I needed to find a place of my own because my housemates like rented out my room. So
nice.
I was like, I'm not coming back. And then I did go back. So I had to find it. But anyways, like I was like a girl in a flat full of guys. Like there was four guys and me. And I only really got friendly with one and a half of them. Because one was lovely and one was like so painfully shy and nerdy and awkward that like he would not really talk to me, but he got a Wii and this is like 2006 and he was so excited that he got the Wii, maybe 2007, like it had just come out, and he invited me to play with him and I was like, and that was the only time that I was ever friendly with that guy. It was like the one only time he ever talked to me.
Maybe he was just super insecure.
Yeah. It was fine. I'm not hating on him or anything. Like, it was just like, he was so introverted to the point that like he wouldn't even speak to me until I got the Wii. And then we
sometimes I feel so sad because those are the best people, and I feel so sorry for them because I'm like, I would really like to be friends with you. It just needs like two inches of an effort from you to at least show me that you kind of have interested in having a like some kind of friendship here. So it's like I can't take this step for you as well. So I had a best friend when I was in kindergarten who was like that. He was like super friendly with me in kindergarten, but when he was driving past our house and I was outside, he was too shy to greet me. And so it was like, oh dude, come on. And yeah, if this goes on until your adult life, then you have a tough life because you're actually a really nice person.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah,
that was just a funny aside, sorry.
What?
It was just a funny little aside, like that memory that popped up.
Yeah. With and here we are now.
Here we are now.
Doing all the weird shit.
Yeah, I know. Tom, I know I've told you this story before, but he was like, he made me play Warcraft because he needed to know that that he was with, I was only approved to be a girlfriend if I could play some Warcraft. Little did he know that he like unleashed a fucking monster and I was like, Warcraft is awesome. And now I'm subscribed and he's not.
I like how did this pan out in the beginning? He was like, on the first date, he was like, listen, Amanda, if this should ever go a step further, you gotta subscribe to Warcraft. Or how did that go?
So we were here in my house one evening. I think we were maybe been dating for 2, maybe 3 months. And he was like, okay.
Now we gotta have the talk.
It was probably before Skyrim came out, so it would have been like within the 3 month period, and so we made a character for me, or I made a character on one of his servers because I didn't subscribe or anything, and then like was playing it, and I think he just wanted to know that I enjoyed it enough to like I don't know, get approval or be like, yeah, the seal of like, yeah, this girl's awesome, I will date her.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was one year that he had, I think it was Marty was over, and were they doing, it must have been over BlizzCon or something. And like him and Marty were upstairs doing BlizzCon, and I sat downstairs and I downloaded Warcraft on my little computer, and like I played up to level 20, and they were like, what are you doing? And because I didn't tell them, and I was like, oh, I'm like a level 15 human mage. And they were like, what, you've been playing Warcraft? I was like, yeah. But like I'm pretty sure I like had that character. Oh no, I did have it on the right server. I don't even know how I got it right or anything. I think I might have just guessed, or I don't know. But yeah, so it's like born, and then like I don't know, Tom asked me like, did I want to play Warcraft? So it was just the end of Mists of Pandaria expansion, so like I didn't actually get to see any of Mists, and so we made characters together, and that's when it started. That must have been like 2013 or 14, and that's when like the Warcraft love started.
Aww. Yeah, your love grew with the Warcraft love.
It did.
That's nice.
Yeah,
we don't have that gaming, we just game separate. Yeah. I did watch him at the very beginning. I did watch him a lot, even though he was playing shooters. I like the like watching the strategy behind it, because like it's really interesting to figure out like where is he, what is he doing now, and how is he playing this and how is he playing that. And to be fair, if he's pretty high on the national server, occasionally that happens because he takes a week off and then he's playing a game for very long, and then they're suddenly top 10 in an international list or something, and I do doesn't last for very long, but but then I do feel a little bit of pride. Despite my, not for Ark, I don't think he deserves it for Ark, but for everything else, I do think that it's quite an achievement.
Do you think that you would still be gaming as much as you are if you weren't dating a gamer?
Probably not. Not as much as I am, because the previous boyfriend, besides all other things that were quite interesting about him, wasn't a gamer. I would definitely still be geeky. It's not like, I mean, that was always something. I was always super into tech, and that was always part of me. But also, I would probably have less time to game because we would do other things. Now, when he's gaming, I can game. So it's not that there are so many joint activities where we would be outside of the house or something, which then basically just would take away time from my gaming time because I wouldn't be at home, I guess, if I had someone who is more outdoorsy or whatever. Like, I had like all my addictions through all my life, like in one way or the other, like in one geeky way or the other. Even when I did have relationships that weren't gamers per se, so weren't that many, but either way, they mostly were gamers in my life. So I mean, I think every gamer deserves his lid, and I do feel kind of like he does not approve of Animal Crossing. That's what I can tell you.
That's awful. But Dump his ass.
He was laughing at what I'm doing in my basement. So that was my seal of approval from right there. So I'm like, yeah. That's true. And yeah. He's just like, you're so weird. And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, I am. So yeah. But yeah, so no, he's more of the shooter kind of that guy. Like, we don't like super share the same gaming, like the same games. So there is no joint thing going on, but I notice the older I am, the more space I need for myself as well, and I think we have an arrangement where that works well, so I can do my shit the way I want it, and then we just go to bed together. Which is already something that I'm offering him from the goodness of my heart, because I'm like,
oh. You're so good.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I probably wouldn't as much. I definitely would still to an extent, but I wouldn't have 500 hours in Animal Crossing right now. That's fair. Happened. So yeah. Would you?
Probably not as much, because I think I would still probably be with Sea Cadets. So I would still have like a lot of time investment there so I wouldn't actually be able to game as much. However, there's a possibility that I would still be friends with that friend up in Belfast, so I would have gamed there. But honestly, I feel like I would have like found a way to get like an original like SNES here and just be playing like old games. Like, I don't know that I would be probably as invested in PC gaming, because it wouldn't have ever occurred to me to buy a PC gaming computer. Like, I definitely owe that to my relationship with Tom. But I think I probably would have kept up the Nintendo love in some fashion, like old games. And then I like to think I would have bought a Switch.
Yeah.
It's hard to speculate though, because like, I'm with Tom for 9 years and this is my life. I'm like, I don't know, like, what would I be doing if I wasn't with Tom? Like, I actually have no fucking clue. Like, would I have moved back to Canada? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. I have no
We're
idea.
We're hitting 10 it's years so weird this to year, so it. I'm like, that's like, I don't know. I can't even say half my life. It's a third of my life. Not quite, but almost.
Almost, yeah.
Fucking hell. Same. Dump his ass. It's too long.
Sure. So yeah, that's it. That's my video game evolution.
Yeah, that's where we are now. Streaming on Twitch, doing weird things.
Yeah, so that's what we've got.
I would be curious about other stories. So if you have them, shoot them at us. Maybe we can do a series like this. Evolution of individuals and their game evolution. I like
that. That's a cool idea. We could totally.
Yeah,
we could test that out.
Yep.
That's what we've got for you this week on Geek Herring and Chill.
Stay tuned for another amazing episode next week.
Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.